The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Hello and welcome to Make It So, a Star Trek podcast, episode number 17. Joining us this week, our very special guest, Mr. Will Tristram.
Live long and prosper, my friends.
From our new podcast, The Definitive Word.
Yeah.
Getting you on here, spread it back a bit. It's good.
Yeah, spread what about?
You. Sounds rather daunting now, doesn't it?
That's why I have to go for the sexual health checkup, you know.
Yeah. It's compulsory for everyone who podcasts with us.
So what's great about having a network of podcasts, really, is the fact that we can sort of, you know, cross-promote.
It's good.
We should get you on weekend watches and movies you should see as
what's
well.
What's a weekend...
Weekend watches.
That's the show Alison and I do.
Oh, right. No, is it really like lovey-dovey and sickie?
This fuck. What?
Pog.
No. Don't be so bloody stupid.
You'll be talking about couples and
entire... We don't talk about any couple.
Curtains and tiles.
It's all TV and DVDs.
They're the modern cyber couple. They podcast about their love.
We don't podcast about love. There's no lovey-dovey stuff. There's no sickly sweet. Let it go.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm Richard Smith.
I'm Mike Dawson.
And I'm Will Tristram again.
Again, there you go. But this week we're talking about another topic from our forum.
Appropriately, this topic is relating to the week of Valentine's Day and the week of love. Wesley Crusher.
I can see what you've done there.
Yeah.
Gone from taking a crush
bit
into
tenuous.
Crush, Crusher, Valentine.
Annoying, useless waste of space.
Or you could take
Valentine's Day, Wesley Crusher.
I can see that. That works as well. Or you could take it on the whole ironic level, you know.
Are we being a bit harsh right away?
We are.
Straight off the bat.
I just never liked him. I'm sorry.
Maybe we should do a brief history of Wesley Crusher.
That's what I think the form this should take is, I agree, yeah.
Okay, let's start at birth. Slightly before birth, Dr. Crusher attempted an abortion. He survived.
Did she really?
Yes.
How? What? When? How do you know that?
I'm making that up.
You're being harsh out the gate. We have to be unbiased.
All right, let's assume that Dr. Crusher didn't have an abortion.
She didn't have an abortion.
And Wesley didn't survive
And he didn't survive an abortion that she didn't have.
Right, okay.
He is the son of Beverly Crusher and Jack Crusher.
Or is he?
No, he is.
Yes, he is.
I always thought maybe Picard.
He's not Prince William.
Knocked up Crusher.
Do you reckon?
I don't know.
I reckon.
Yeah, there was always a kind of...
bald head and his testosterone. Why did he send him away? Because didn't he send his father on the orders?
I think that's it. I think he was under Picard's command or something like that.
So Picard had him bumped off, didn't he?
Something where Picard didn't die and his dad did. So I've lost my train of thought now straight away.
Fair enough.
It was a parentage.
Parentage. So his dad was dead from the outset. We first come across... Wesley Crusher in an encounter at Farpoint.
Yes. As with most of the Next Gen crew, with his mother as a 15 or 14?
I thought he was even younger. I was going to say 13 and then 12 popped into my head.
I think that's just Will Wheaton's face though, isn't it?
Maybe. He's got I wonder how old Will Wheaton actually was.
I'm sure this is all information that could be found very easily on the internet.
Probably.
Possibly through IMDb.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Right. I remember him having a massive chip on his shoulder.
Well,
we go, Picard, you son of a bitch.
Are we assuming that you can't really join Starfleet Academy until you're 18?
He does it younger.
He goes younger.
But isn't he something stupid like a genius or something like that?
Well, this is it. Wesley Crusher is apparently a little bit of a genius.
Right.
Like him or not, he's a fucking genius. Can you make a force field emitter?
No.
No, neither can I.
But so, neither can any living human on the planet at current.
And that's how good he is.
Right.
Intellectually.
Aye.
Okay, so he's this young man who's out of his league with his peers. He's very lonely. Seems very isolated.
If he lived today, he'd be one of those CIA young programmers or something.
Yeah, he'd be dragged off in the night to do things for people with satellites.
Yeah, one of those sort of people.
Because they have those, don't they?
Yeah. There's a club.
Straight away, do we see him on Foulpoint Station much?
Yes, yes, with his mother.
When the thing makes exactly what she wants.
Yes.
But we first really get to know him when he tries to get on the bridge. That's the...
Is that when Picard keeps having a thrombosis about children on the bridge?
Yes, why is that child on my bridge?
Yeah. And the rest of the audience...
We don't know, Picard. What kind of fucking military vessel has children on the bridge?
It's not a military vessel, though. It's a Bressel.
Bressel.
Bressel. Vessel. Wessel. It's not a military vessel. It's a vessel of exploration.
On that note, when we're on holiday in San Francisco, I'm going to make Allison ask a policeman
for directions to the nuclear vessels.
Where are the
naval
vessels?
Naval base in Alameda.
And you're actually where we'll be staying.
You're staying in Alameda.
And I'm taking the video camera. There's going to be so many Star Trek 4 moments.
Where are you going? San Francisco?
Yeah.
You know it's full of, you know,
men of homosexual persuasion.
Star Trek fans. Oh, shit. No. Whereabouts in San Francisco?
We're staying in Alameda.
Yeah.
Where Allison's got friends who've just moved over there.
Nice.
So we're sort of going to stay.
You're
going
to get to see Alcatraz.
I'm going to see Alcatraz. Yeah.
It's boring.
I'm sure it is, but I've got to see Alcatraz.
It's really boring.
And the bridge and Starfleet Academy.
Mm. Go on a tram ride as well. There's only like one tram left running, and it's a tourist thing.
Really?
Yeah. But
and that was years ago. Do they even have that one anymore?
I don't know. It was only 99 when I went. So
you never know. You might get lucky. Mardi Gras might be on. Yeah.
That's true.
Maybe.
Maybe
there'll be humpback whales being rescued by a big flinging bird of prey.
I have to, as you said, I need to nearly get run over and then shout double dumbass at you.
Yeah, please do that.
The driver.
Or just randomly to a bar, you know, barman gives you the wrong drink. Double dumbass on you.
I think
it's any time that you get angry, I want you to turn to Allison and say, I think it's time for a colourful metaphor.
Anyway,
we digress.
Do you know what we were talking about with Wesley Crusher?
We were talking
him
about
being on the bridge.
Him being on the bridge and being bollocked.
Yeah.
What I think people don't like about Wesley is that he never seriously fucked up, really. No one ever died and stuff. He could actually do all the things he was supposed to be able to do. He was a genius.
Well, they did die, though. There were people.
When did Wesley
later
kill people?
Well, not directly, but there was the episode in Series 5 where they're on trial for an accident at Starfleet Academy.
Is that your man who turns up in fucking Voyager?
It's not, but it's played by the same guy.
Yeah,
he turns up in Voyager.
Is that the actor?
The stupid thing, yeah, it's the same actor, and the stupid thing is the actor is practically playing the same character.
It could have been the same character.
Paris. Well, I saw Tuvok as well in the Generations episode.
Yeah, but it wasn't actually Tuvok again. It was Tim Russ. Yeah.
I know. No, it was Tuvok.
No, it wasn't.
In Star Trek 6.
No, in Generations.
In Generations.
He turns up on the Enterprise B as the...
Because I'm thinking of the episode of Voyager where they go back to the Excelsior with Sulu. Because it was Tuvok in Star Trek 6.
Yeah, but he wasn't actually in Star Trek 6.
Which one am I thinking of?
Well, he turns... This is where it gets confusing. He turns up in Star Trek Generations as an officer on the Enterprise B.
Okay.
A human officer, not a Vulcan.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not playing Tuvok. And then, obviously, he is on Sulu's ship in Voyager. And
crazy.
Yeah.
When he let that little girl fall off the cliff.
I haven't seen that episode.
It's terrible.
Is it?
So Wesley gets into a few shenanigans over the years, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has his little...
He's a major character, and there are some Wesley-centric episodes.
How long was he in it for?
Bloody years.
For the first four seasons, basically. Yeah. First three and a half, actually. Because he leaves midway through season four,
doesn't he? To become a ball of light, right?
No, to go to Starfleet Academy.
Right, okay.
Then he crops up in two episodes in season five, none in season six, which is possibly why season six is one of the better seasons of Next Gen, and one episode in season seven when he becomes a ball of light, and then he comes back from Nemesis. Now,
how was being a ball of light?
I got fat. I couldn't have a wank. No hands.
Oh, this is
no
your
penis.
List of priorities in life.
Well, quite frankly, yes.
Number one, can I have a wank? Yeah, well, we're good.
We're good.
Right, number two.
Food or water, Mike?
Food, breathing. Food or water? Am I breathing? Yes, I can breathe. Okay.
Well, you're just instantly going to assume as a ball of light that food and water are kind of, you know, secondary concerns.
Surely wanking is too.
No. No, it's not.
Wanking,
really,
regardless of your form.
You don't want to see me if I haven't had a wank for a few days, man. It's just not a pleasant sight.
We're skirting too close to the you masturbating topic at all, for my liking.
That's a whole different show.
Being
though,
able to identify
you mean, skirting?
When you haven't done it for some time.
I'm pretty sure we just dived right
that's
in there.
That's what I mean. It's too close. It's too close.
Anyway, balls
we're
of light aside.
Wesley Crusher.
Touch my balls.
Wesley
light.
Crusher. No more balls.
Okay.
You're one of the most sensible ones. I don't expect
I know, I have to deal with this stuff with you. I know.
Especially when there's guests.
I know. Sorry, I'm just showing you up now for...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass me in front of the guests.
You two are getting like a couple now, aren't you?
Don't.
No.
Craig will get jealous and hit me.
Alison will get jealous and smack you.
She won't care.
No, she won't.
You're worried about Craig.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Right.
Back to Wesley fucking Crusher. I like Wesley.
I hate Wesley.
I'll tell you why I like him.
Why do you like him?
Because...
You don't like
him.
No,
I do like Wesley.
No, you don't.
I've watched him again recently.
Right.
And I've paid close attention because in the years between me seeing Star Trek originally and its consequent repeats over and over on Sky One, in the last few years when I've had no Star Trek, I've just... lived under the impression that he was a snivelly little shit and hated him.
Mm.
And so when I've watched them again as an adult with a more experienced, cultured eye, I've looked at what they've done with his character and he's actually quite well written. And you see him develop over the series. I think it's something you pick up on a lot more if you watch them all together.
At some point he grows pubes, doesn't he?
That's very true.
Watch him become a man.
That's it, exactly, you see. I think he's actually quite a well-written character. I understand completely all the things you say for hating him and agree with just about all of
them. Hate's a strong word, isn't it? I think it's when you stack him next to other... I mean, by all means, I'd take Wesley Crusher over Deanna Troi any day.
He was far more interesting than Deanna Troi. The most interesting thing she ever did was have a headache.
Yeah.
But she did do that a lot. He's not telling the truth.
She was useless. I could have done that. Whenever someone popped up on the screen and they were being dodgy and shifty, like, we'd like to come down and take a look. Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah. And it takes her to go, I sense he's hiding something. When he should have just slapped her and said, yes, thank you, Deanna. We can all see that.
Not fucking stupid.
Yeah, you're only half a beta, whatever. Yeah. Betazoid. Mm.
Surely she doesn't have the range. Yeah.
So does that mean a full Betazoid could go, yep, he's lying. He's lying about this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
While she only goes, I sense he's lying.
He's probably lying. Which
kind of begs the question. Your flagship, yeah? Your Star Trek flagship of the Federation. The USS Enterprise, otherwise known. Enterprise. The Big Mama has its ship's counselor, who also doubles up as the ship's lie detector, general advisor as to what people might be feeling and thinking, and you get the half Betazoid?
Yeah, why wouldn't you order a full one?
Yeah, you know, you'd send it back.
You're only a half.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the kind of... Because Spock was a half, wasn't he?
Oh, but you know, he's not claiming anything special then.
No, but I'm saying maybe that's a running thing about mixtures.
I see what you're pointing.
Isn't, like, you had, like, Worf being brought up by humans, wasn't he? So he's...
Multicultural.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
It all comes down to messages and morals and all that kind of thing in the
That's
end.
Very
so
true.
Maybe,
does,
maybe
it?
Them saying Deanna Troi being a half and half.
She's as good as both.
Well, she turns she turns up and, okay, she's half Betazoid and then she speaks like that. I'd send her back. She has the worst accent in history.
Well, she's from bloody Tottenham.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard her speak in real life?
Yeah.
It's very
she should have
weird.
Just done it like that.
Yeah. Sure.
If you've got people on board who can actually read your mind and there's nothing you can do about it. What do you do about things like all your passwords and stuff like that?
That's a good point.
Do you reckon it works like that? Or do you reckon she only gets senses? Like every time I walk
well,
past
she's
her,
empathic.
Well, that's her. I
would
mean,
she
what
be
about
senses?
All
I want to smack her ass.
A full Betazoid. You know?
Would she get that?
Well, like, that's it, exactly. You know, you couldn't have a Betazoid, a fit Betazoid female friend.
No, no because way. She'd be like, stop mentally undressing me.
More than that.
No,
she's
really
like, you want to do what? Disgusting. No.
But Wesley Crusher.
But Wesley Crusher. Anyway, Wesley Crusher wasn't a Betazoid.
No, he wasn't. So this is what I'm saying, right? I don't think he is anywhere near as bad as we like to think he is.
No, probably not.
Maybe at a push you could question the mentality of bringing such a character at all into the series. It did add a sort of softer family element to the show. You know, if you were watching it as a 13-year-old, it was conceivable you could be flying the Enterprise.
No, you were watching it as a conceivable 13-year-old. You were watching it as a 13-year-old thinking, why the fuck is that annoying child piloting the ship?
Did why you really
isn't
think that?
Why isn't a grown up doing it?
No, I think as a child you suspend belief in stuff like that.
No,
because it shows you could be doing it.
I watched Star Trek when I was 10 and I hated Wesley Crusher.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
He was annoying. He had a fucking rainbow outfit in the first series, didn't
oh,
he?
Yeah.
He had the rainbow
oh,
shoulder
God,
pads.
Yeah.
And
looking good, Wesley.
Yeah, looking well good. Kind of a prelude
that was
to
pretty
him.
Awful. Oh, come on, the bad outfits there were in that first season. Though.
Yeah, but him in particular, he took the biscuit trophy of biscuits for bad outfit, really. In fact, one of the people who came off better in the earlier series compared to later on, apart from her hairdo, was actually Deanna Troi.
That's true.
She had the whole black number, didn't she? And that was much better
than...
Oh, was
that when her hair was tied
up? Yeah, but not...
She did look like she had, like, swimmer shoulders in that, though.
Yeah, but that was because of the hair more than anything.
Kind of carrot shape to them. When you know the swimmers get really big arms and really big shoulders?
Yeah. Yeah,
look
yeah.
at it again.
Okay,
yeah. Well, think about that. Next time we'll see
it. So, favourite Wesley Crusher moment. Serious Wesley Crusher moment.
Seriously, favourite Wesley Crusher moment. Right, okay. It's the best episode, best Wesley-centric episode, I think, is the one in season 4 when he leaves. And I'm trying to... not because he leaves, although that is a bonus, but the one where the shuttle's crash-landed on a desert island.
Oh, yes.
A desert island.
On a
desert
planet. Yes.
And they're looking for water with that dodgy alien chap who ran the shuttlecraft.
Yeah. Oh, kills Tasha?
No.
What, is there another dodgy guy on a sand-covered planet?
He's going to the Academy, he's got Picard with him, and they charter a dodgy shuttle. Don't know why they didn't get taken by the Enterprise or anything like that.
I must
that.
Have seen
yeah.
There's been a reason. But they go on a dodgy shuttle and it crashes and then they just dying and have to find water.
Right,
and they find
right.
some. There's a weird thing that stops them getting to the water. Picard gets hurt and everything.
Eventually the dodgy pilot gets killed, and which is quite horrific, actually. That
yeah, it's quite
yeah.
nasty because he doesn't really... You don't see him die.
No.
You just see him encased in that stuff. You assume he's going to die soon, but he wouldn't die instantly, surely.
No.
He'd just be suffocating to death slowly.
Yeah.
It's quite dark.
Yeah, it was quite
dark. They
don't
really think of that sort of thing when they try to do non-blood deaths, do they?
No.
Some of them are far more
disturbing. Yeah, exactly.
You know, what is it? Lucky number 7 the other night.
I haven't seen it yet.
People, not to spoil any plot really, but at some point somebody dies by having a polythene bag put and taped over their head and they suffocate.
Yeah.
It would be far less horrific to watch that happen if they were just shot in the head.
Yeah.
I've seen that film. I just realised now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's quite horrific.
Right.
When you just watch it happen slowly, you probably, it's quite like watching most scenes from 24, to be honest.
Right.
That's fair enough. In some respects.
So yeah, that one would be mine because that was a good little Picard and Crusher episode. Occasionally, I think that was probably when Crusher was his best because Crusher and his mum were a bit, oh, Wesley, I missed a few inches of you while I was at Starfleet Medical.
There was too much of that from time to time.
Yeah, and it was a bit kind of pissed.
Beverly looked far too old to be his mother.
Yeah. And then
there was that too, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was Riker, and you know Riker trying to teach him about the women, ladies. And,
you see, you know. This was what I liked about the character was that he did have quite unique relationships with different members of the crew, and they liked him, and they sort of they were all his collective father, so to speak. Especially people like Riker and Geordi. He got different things from each of them.
Yeah, and Data as well, didn't he?
Yeah, you start to notice all the interactions. And it's quite, you know, he does what you do in that situation when he wants advice about girls. He goes and talks to Riker.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And it's quite good.
Yeah.
It's very well written. Like I say, I think you pick up on it a lot more if you just watch them all like I did, rather than waiting 6 months and trying to remember something from ages ago.
Personally, I do think that the Picard stuff is best, though. When he's with Picard. Because that's his real surrogate father, isn't it?
That's his authority figure. He's,
you know, and
I still think he's his dad.
I think it is questionable. I think it is questionable as to whether or not
You know, like, if anyone else agrees with me, by all means.
I think you could argue that he does show a great... that he feels a great responsibility for Wesley's well-being.
Well, Wesley
upbringing.
Looks a little bit French as well, doesn't he?
Picard doesn't.
Yeah. But he is, though. Jean-Luc, originally from Dewsbury Picard.
What was it we were saying the other day about the fountain? In the fountain, the Spanish queen is...
I am the queen of Spain.
I am the queen of Spain, and I speak with an English accent for some bizarre reason. Why is it any time, you know, it's an American program, if there's someone is speaking from a foreign country who's speaking in English, they always speak in a perfect Queen's English accent?
Because it's the generic foreign voice that's understandable without subtitles.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
It's not known as English, it's known as foreign.
Foreign. Right.
I still wonder if we're all still perceived as the tea-drinking yah-yahs.
The only gauge I have for that is once I went to Germany and they refused to give me coffee on the grounds that, of course, I only drank tea.
Really?
Yes. Quite seriously. Right. I insisted that I fucking hated tea and would love a fucking cup of coffee. Didn't get one, though. Didn't like that trip to
America. Fucking Germans, eh?
Lovely people. I enjoyed it a great deal going over to Germany, actually. I could do with going back.
Yeah.
I do like all the northern...
Who do you reckon the Germans were going to be, then, in Star Trek?
The Nazis are the Dominion.
Nazis are the Dominion, you're right. Mm. Yeah. Because you had the Klingons were the Japanese...
Klingons were the Japanese, the Vulcans were the British, the
and we just make a distinction between the Nazis and the German people.
Yes, I did make a very clear distinction.
I just wanted to confirm
between the
that
Nazis
again.
And the German
that
people.
That was almost a cultural faux pas.
It was.
Yes, it was. Yes, the Nazis.
Mike Crossan not allowed in Germany again.
No, it was very clear. It was very clear it was Nazis, not the Germans.
We're no good at breaking into that country either.
No.
We only break out.
Yes.
Through means of small tunnel.
We'll only ever get one of us out.
Mind you, they'd never be looking for that.
No.
We were tunneling in.
Yeah.
They'd have no idea. No. Carry on, I'm talking shit.
Yeah, so we've got, Nazis are...
so the Federation was American.
The Dominion. The Borg are obviously the Russians. Communism. And
bloody
commies working together in a harmonious collective.
I don't know, because I think you're crossing some interesting sort of periods in history here, and I don't think by the time they were writing the Borg, the Russians weren't still communists at that point.
Yeah, they
maybe
were.
It's a. And I thought the Russians were the Romulans. The Romulans, weren't they? With the Cold War and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No, I'd always saw the Romulans as more of a British Empire.
I certainly don't think they'd have been
in a kind of
communist to the point where it would still be.
When did Roddenberry start writing Star Trek? When did they.
In the 50s and 60s.
50s
we
and 60s.
Should so know that.
Yeah.
In the 60s.
Because it strikes it to me after that's just coming out of the war. You know, like, people are still, like, I would say that, of course, Federation being the Americans.
Mm.
But I would say the Romulans were the Russians, just because you always had that, you know, that,
maybe
that Cold War undercurrent.
Yeah, maybe. But I think it makes more sense at the Borg, though.
I don't know. I just don't think that at the point they were writing the Borg, that the relationship was with Russia would call for any writer to be doing a communism metaphor.
Yeah.
If it was brought out in the mid-80s, then perhaps. Yeah. But by the time season 3 of Star Trek was out,
it was
2 and 3.
Season you have the Borg
the collapse
Korea.
Of the Soviet Union didn't happen until 1991, remember that.
So when did season 2 of Next Gen come
1988.
Out? Season 2 of Next Gen was 88.
Yeah, 88.
Jesus, was it?
I was thinking it was 92.
No.
Are you season really sure six. About this?
Season six was 92.
Am I much older than I think I am?
Yeah. Season six is 92, 93. Season seven is 93, 97, 94. And that's when it ended. Backtrack the years, count back.
I'm counting back.
Starts in 1987 with season one, 87, 88. Season two is 88, 89. Season three is 89, 90.
We're just getting on, mate.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
We're just getting on, mate. It's older than you think. It's been done for 13 years. Next
Fuck
gen.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Riggies is breathing into a paper bag right now.
I'm going to die soon. I haven't got long left.
We've been doing something with our lives.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do you mean I've got to stop playing Xbox? I've got to get some slippers, man.
Yeah.
And a pipe.
And a pipe.
Did Wesley appear in any other offshoots from?
No, not a one. Not a one. Let's talk about... let's look at the various story arc of Wesley. So we have him been meandering around in the first series and generally getting into a bit of trouble.
Well, it's in the first series.
Throwing balls onto plants in alien worlds and going to be put to death by hot women.
I was always very disappointed that he didn't get to shag any of those girls on that planet.
I was just disappointed he never got to shag anyone.
That the love planet?
Yeah, the love planet.
Was that when Data even got his end away?
No, Data. I don't think Data.
No, that was the Naked Now, I think. Right.
Yes,
that
it was. Yes.
Yes. But yeah, they later on they had that.
Yeah. Go on with what you were saying.
So then, yeah, he does that, and then series. Did he become part of the bridge crew? Was he on the bridge?
Yeah, I think in series one, soon he became an acting ensign, which made it clear that apparently anyone could become the pilot of the Federation flagship.
Yeah.
If Picard liked the cut of your jib.
Yeah. The acting
quite a flawed
ensign
system, I think. Acting and acting, pretending to be
the lowest,
possible
rank
we can give anybody.
It's kind of like a trainee runner.
Yeah. Mm. Disgusting concept. And he's flying the fucking ship. When did he have flying the ship lessons? I'm fairly sure that something like that would come with a fairly rigorous testing course.
Yeah.
What do you think?
As far as it looks like just tapping in something and pressing a button. Is
exactly.
There any kind of going forward, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm.
Do you reckon there's going to be any like understeer or oversteer on the Starship Enterprise?
I wouldn't
choke.
So, you see, I think the whole navigation system as a whole was one of the flawed technologies in Star Trek. Mm. This is a show on its own because you've got the whole why didn't they have video cameras when they went on away missions thing. Certain technologies that were sorely missing.
Yeah, we need to do that as another That's show, actually. What technologies that we have now that weren't ever even applied to Star Trek.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, you have nowadays, for 500 quid, I can go to Halfords and buy a TomTom. Where I can type in the destination and it will work out the route for me, knowing where I am. So on the Enterprise, when they know where they want to go and where they are, they have to plot a course.
Yeah.
Why can't the ship do that?
Yeah.
Why hasn't the Enterprise
Maybe
got
it is.
TomTom?
Maybe when he says plot a course, it means press that button, get the ship to do it.
Get TomTom
Is he just bringing up a list of all places we've been in alphabetical order?
Say Google Universe.
It must be Google Universe.
Mm-hmm.
That is another thing that's sorely lacking. You know,
corporate sponsorship.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then he passes around. He does that, and then in season two, we start to get a little bit of romance for him, don't we? He falls in love with a shapeshifter, a big blob of goo.
Yes, there is that. I always felt quite bad for him on that one as well.
Although no, as we were discussing,
whether the little furry gremlin things—that's what they really are. They're like 3 foot tall.
You know, 5 pints of Ewoks. Romulan ale will do that to anyone.
Yeah. But we were just saying before the show started, weren't we, about the shapeshifters be the best laser in the galaxy, obviously.
I'm not repeating that line, because it's disgusting. I'd also like to put forward probably Data for the best layer in the galaxy.
Well, Changeling.
The stamina.
That's just what
stamina,
I'm talking about.
Supposing...
When we rewatched The Naked Now and Tasha goes for him, you sort of think, you know, that
Tasha's
makes a hell
though.
Of a lot
Tasha's
of sense.
Tasha's a whore.
Yeah.
I saw her in the Red Shoe Diaries.
Oh, yeah.
Oh! Oh, yeah.
We've seen the photo. Sadly, she has the figure of a 5-year-old boy, which is quite a shame.
Never mind.
But
yeah,
there
that
you
is
go.
True.
It's,
that is true.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
She's
yeah,
very
yeah.
rugged nowadays as well.
Yeah.
And that was from interviews from 13 years ago, I'm now
reminded. Do you reckon Riker's the Lothario we all think he is?
Nah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. How do you think they ever let him direct a second film?
That's true.
I don't know. Good old Jonathan
Come
Frakes.
On. There's a way you
Jonathan
do that
Frakes.
In Hollywood. You know, he's. That's an unfair accusation.
Where do you reckon I could get a signed picture of Jonathan Frakes from?
On eBay.
But I want one to me, though.
You want one that says
from
to
one Will
Tristram from Will Riker.
Yeah. To Will from Will.
Yeah.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. That's
terrible. I don't know. It'll be Frakes who's writing it. He's probably a comedy god for all I know.
Yeah.
Yes, you've seen some scenes of First Contact.
Mm.
He knows about comedy.
He does. Then we had season three. Now, we opened season three with the nanobots, which were...
Oh, that was entirely his fault.
Yeah.
Playing with nanobots. Bad move.
Yeah.
I remember the nanobots because they kept on getting used now and again or referred to, didn't they?
Yeah, later on.
They become nanites.
Nanites or something. But basically they took over the ship and were going to...
Now, that's when they nearly killed Dr. What's-his-name from Scrubs.
Yeah, Dr. Kelso.
Yes.
Yes.
Was he in there?
Dr. Kelso was on it in...
What's his real name?
God knows. Dr. Kelso from Scrubs.
Up in so much
that is his real name.
Dr. Kelso, we're
from Scrubs.
Yeah.
Four names. Dr. Kelso.
From Scrubs. Yeah. God, he was lucky that he landed Scrubs, wasn't he?
He was.
Could have been a hideous error.
It's a quadruple-barreled name. It's followed me around.
So yeah, he does that, and then he becomes he does the nanobots business. I'm trying to think what else though happens to him in season three.
Does he ever have a holodeck episode?
No,
he doesn't. Does he?
No,
and nothing particularly Q-like happens to him at any.
Doesn't he appear in a holodeck? What on Barclays when he's going in there and he's got the
oh yes, as a petulant little child. When he's on the Shagging Council of Troy
program. Yeah. Doesn't he have a big wig and a kind of musketeer's outfit on? And
does he?
Yes, he does. Oh, they all do.
He's eating an apple.
That's it. That's
what he's doing. Well rounded.
Yeah, from the Shagging Council of Troy.
So there was something big that you were about to say a minute ago.
It's gone now.
Sorry, no way.
Did I totally.
Did he ever have a Q episode? Did he ever have a...
There was a moment where, of course, he's made 10 years older.
And I bet Will Wheaton wishes he looked like that.
Yeah.
10 years. So I remember that guy. I was like, that guy is well too handsome and buff to be.
It is. That is the most chiseled guy I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. And he still had the rainbow suit on as well, didn't he?
Did he?
He did.
He had like an adult version of the rainbow suit on.
Oh my God.
He's like, Mom, I've just got off my board and suddenly I'm here. And I'm like, whoa. He's a proper dude.
That's quite a cool Wesley Crusher moment. He is in one of my favourite episodes. The Game is a Wesley Crusher centric episode.
Yes.
One with the game on the glasses thing from Ricer, and everybody plays it.
Is that when they start getting hooked? Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone plays it except Wesley and Ashley Judd.
Yeah.
And Ashley Judd's a girl, right?
Yeah.
Yes. She was in films.
I actually knew a lad at school called Ashley Judd.
Eh?
And he was a lad.
He must be quite embarrassed now.
Yeah.
You don't want a girl.
I know more Ashley blokes than I do Ashley women. But they all call themselves Ash.
I do. Ash.
Your name's Ashley. Get it right.
No, it's Ash.
It's like people who call themselves Les. And you just sort of smile to yourself
Leslie.
And think, I'd say Les as well.
Yeah.
You don't go, hello, I'm Leslie. Please hit me.
I shouldn't say that. My grandfather's name was Leslie.
Oh, right.
And he was like a brick shithouse. You wouldn't have actually... got involved with
you don't call tough-looking Leslie's Leslie to the face.
No, God, no.
you wait until they're dead and in the ground, then you start taking the piss.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Crazy stuff. The man was incredible. I'll tell you stories about him when I'm drunk one night. Not now, though. He didn't do anything in Star Trek.
No, he didn't. So later on, he leaves, he chips off, he goes to the academy.
A few failed attempts at going to the academy, it needs to be said.
He doesn't just
go. There's one where he meets the fish face guy and lets him win. And then they go, but you let him win. You can't go, little pussy.
Yeah.
And when they pretend that he has to rescue somebody, but they don't really kill anyone at all.
Wouldn't going to Starfleet Academy after serving on the Enterprise be such a letdown, though?
Wouldn't it just?
Well, the stupid thing is,
they hate you.
Is at the end of season three, they got rid of his clumpy grey uniform as well, and they gave him a proper.
And became an ensign.
Without going to the academy?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, they have non-commissioned officers.
Well, he's like a YTS guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
On the job training.
Oh, right, okay.
Like, we'll let you in, but of course you realise you're not as good as us.
Yeah. Mm.
We went to the academy.
Right, so then he went off to the academy.
And then he goes to the academy, and he's all, I flew the Enterprise game.
Yeah, it's kind of like Spielberg going back to film school and getting his film degree.
Did take the piss a bit. Yeah. I didn't think that. As soon, when you read that news report, oh, good for him. And then you think, hang on a minute. What about the guy who came second in that class?
Yeah.
That's going to piss you off.
Yeah.
I came second. Who to? Steven fucking Spielberg.
He came in and he submitted Close Encounters of the Third Kind as his final entry piece.
Fuck.
For film school.
With a covering note that said, don't give me a first. I fucking dare you.
Really?
Well, hypothetically, yeah, I would have put that on there.
The truth there. I was like,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
You know,
do you think he deliberately submitted his worst film? Or.
No, I think that was one he. Wasn't it one that he actually wrote, though?
Ah, right.
Because he didn't write Jurassic Park or
no.
The Lost World or any of the others. So, you know, that's probably what that will be about. Could probably have. No, not even Jaws. He didn't write Jaws.
No.
So it was that or Duel.
Right.
Oh, what? Sorry.
Duel.
Was that the one with the big dragon? Oh, not someone with the big dragon. That they got in. Don't matter. I'm having a flashback.
Are you thinking of Dragonheart with Dennis Quaid?
No, I'm thinking of one. It was like a dragon that was in a fucking warehouse somewhere. I honestly do believe I'm making this up now.
Rain of Fire.
Oh, fuck me, it's a dragon.
No.
Sorry, carry on.
No, never mind. And then we had the Academy episode where he comes back with Tom Paris and there was a shuttle accident.
Quite a good one. He needed a slap after that.
Yeah,
quite
he did.
Frankly, he needed a slap.
Well, this was the start of him becoming a knobhead, and then we didn't see him for 2 years, and then he came back and he dropped out of the Academy.
It was very much like he was actually the teenager child of someone who was on Star Trek, and they just didn't want to speak to him.
Yeah.
You can come back when you've grown up.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. It's as if that happened one night.
Well, that's it. And then he came back and he pranced around a bit. And
right,
he was,
but I want to fly the Enterprise. Nice. I want to fly it now.
It's my turn.
And then off. Go.
Go off to the Academy. I'm sorry. I'm sending you to boarding school.
Back to the Academy.
Occasionally, Dr. Crusher would get asked in 10 foot, how's Wesley doing? She'd just take another fuck sip it. Of a drink and go, oh, fuck.
That little
no dog, son dude. Of mine.
You know, just chuntering.
I just never saw. You would have thought that they might have got a mother who looked a little bit more like a son. Oh, I still think that's why it colludes to.
You think he's Picard?
I do. I don't know if I've dreamt that again and making it up, but
I don't think it ever came out that he was.
No.
But that would have been a cool moment for the closing scene of the last episode or something. I'm your father.
Yeah.
All right. It wouldn't have been quite as tragic as finding out Darth Vader's your dad.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing quite well for myself. I'm the captain of the Federation. Thing.
Yeah.
Smashing. Come and buy me a car.
Nemesis. It should have been Will Wheaton playing Shinzon.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Oh. No, the film, and it comes back, and Wesley's evil.
Yeah.
In that, he should have been like evil Wesley.
Give me a little beard. Give me a little tiny beard.
Yeah, little beard.
With lots of power.
Oh, that would have been amazing. Yeah. Make that film.
Kills his mother at one point and...
Recall all the copies of Insurrection and replace it with that film that we've just made up there. Everyone who sends you one back gets a new DVD with the new film on. I think that's a fair deal.
Why don't we see if we can get in touch with Will Wheaton? Well,
I'll email him.
What's he doing at the moment then?
He's doing a blog and he's on podcast on revision3.org. Right.
Well, you never know. He might... Yeah. Fancy popping down. We can do one set in Leeds and Howard.
That'd be great.
We could do a time travel one to save on the money.
Oh, right. It's not like an episode of Doctor Who, though. Time travel, but we've come to Howarth.
Yeah.
Strange things have happened.
On a
sci-fi kind of note, we're in the kind of place for it, ITV have a new dinosaur sci-fi.
Primeval,
yeah. Have you seen any of it?
No.
It's like Doctor Who, only on ITV.
This looks a little cheaper then.
Yeah.
Is it where humans are wandering around in the dinosaur time and...
No, dinosaurs are now.
Oh, right, okay.
How the fuck does that happen then?
Magic. Time vortex.
Right.
They have this room.
Really? Where a time vortex?
It's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. And this scientist, not a doctor... Scientist time travels. They don't really have the room that's bigger. I mean, it's really Doctor Who.
See, the dinosaurs in modern days always throws up for me a nasty little, you know, one of those things where you pick at Independence Day for the fact that they plug the computer in and they interact with the mothership with an Apple Mac, and that's so implausible, and yet aliens come
into
Earth. Well,
that's how easy they are to use, Mike.
Yeah, but then aliens coming to Earth, and, you know, that's the point of implausibility that you got to pick out on Independence Day, which is ridiculous.
See, if it used Adele, it would have been fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it would have just, no, that would screwed it. My computer, no chance. But, so with Jurassic Park, whenever dinosaurs are in modern times, and it's like, well, hang on a second, dinosaurs breathed an entirely different atmosphere to this one. There's no way they'd be able to survive more than 5 seconds.
Stop killing the moon!
That's addressed in the book.
Is it?
It is. When it's commented on that all the dinosaurs are sort of staggering around and panting heavily because there's nowhere near enough oxygen in the atmosphere for them to breathe properly. It's one of the holes that's pointed out in the entire system. They don't actually live in this environment anymore.
It's a story.
Sorry.
Never mind.
And all that. It's great.
Yeah. Okay.
We keep sashaying away from Wesley.
Wesley.
You're talking about his arc, his progress.
We've pretty much done it now. He becomes a big ball of light.
Big ball of light comes back and tries to pull the ladies. Yeah. I'm not going off with you, Tubby Crusher.
And then he becomes the technical officer on the Titan.
Well, this was another thing about how crap life must be for him. He's been flying the Enterprise. He's been an omnipotent being of time, power, energy, and light throughout the galaxy. He comes back to Starfleet and they go, actually, Lieutenant Tactical Officer, please. And he's like, I was ball of fucking light. I can do anything. I can fly across the fucking universe.
I'm going to come back and be tactical officer.
Would that have been Worf's job on the Enterprise?
Like Worf's job on the Enterprise.
Why tactical officer? As if he's a tactical officer. He's a fucking nerd.
Exactly.
He's a scientist.
It's what they say to Q when Q says, can I join Starfleet? And they're like, well, what the fuck would your job be in Starfleet? There you go. Change the universe so we already know everything. There, done. Right, that's it.
Simple. Change the gravitational constant of the universe. Well, Q, if I could do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, what would you... But that's the thing. If you've been on the Enterprise from the word go, then you're going to set yourself up for disappointment, because what else have you fucking got?
Yeah.
Other than the flagship.
Precisely.
Exactly. All you need to wait, though, is for Deanna to get behind the wheel and she'll surely ram it into a planet.
Yeah. Or another big ship.
Yeah. Anything, really.
That's it.
Anything. Yeah. Given that space is infinite, she has hit a great deal of things.
Yes. Kirk destroyed one Enterprise.
To be fair, he didn't drive it into anything.
No, he deliberately destroyed it. Deanna's clocked up too.
More Enterprise destructions than anyone else.
Anyone else, yeah.
Both while driving.
Yeah.
What's the hidden metaphor in that one, Gene?
Yep.
Women. Say that sort of thing when
I think being half a beta Zoid, you'd be able to see things coming, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you want to drive? No, trust me. Oh, crashing.
Was it the other day watching the DS9 when the Dominion take beta Zoid? The Dominion invade beta Zed.
Right.
And as part of the war. And just sitting there thinking, well, I saw him coming though, didn't they?
They had to have seen him coming.
You know what I mean? It'd be like they'd get there. It's like, we've come to take your planet. It's like, yeah, well, we know. We've kind of thought this out a week ago.
See, I think the bases were probably a bit shit and probably doing, you know.
Fucking liberal hippies.
No, you can imagine them on the phone to Starfleet Command. It's like, I'm telling you, the fucking Dominion are coming. I'm telling you, the entire planet knows they're coming. They'd never do that. No, I'm telling you.
It's the big secret. They're actually crap, but because they all agree that they should say that they're really good, it's never come out. We can't argue with them. How good are your telepathic powers, Diana? Oh, fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. Really are they? Yeah. Yeah, they're all
she's never got a fucking clue, though, has she? She can never give him a definite answer.
Nah, that's the problem with it.
It's like he keeps bringing her along and she can only feel something, which you can tell from body language, for God's sake.
And you'd go to her for counselling and you'd say, what's the problem? How do you feel?
You're the problem, Troy. You're the problem.
Can you tell how I feel now? No, it's not very nice.
Empathise, man.
Yeah. Let's wrap up. Where's the Crusher?
I think we should wrap.
Bottom line,
stick him in a tube and fire him out in space.
Watch him again, and you know, redraw your conclusion if necessary. Right. That's what I'm saying. Have an open mind with regards
to.
Well,
I never had a mass. I just found him a bit on the kind of slappable side, but
from time to time, he needed a good he was slap. Fine. I believe that's what Worf was there for.
Yeah,
you go to Worf to be shouted at, unless you've been really bad, and then you go to.
But then Worf had a kid who deserved a good kick in the face now and again.
Oh yeah.
Alexander's a whole episode on his own. Hopefully we talk more about Alexander than we managed to about Wesley Crusher.
Well, maybe. Apparently you've been alluding to Wesley throughout the other 16 episodes, haven't you?
Yes, so, we have.
Yeah, we have. And we will continue to do so, I believe.
Yes.
Until they demand an embargo on Wesley Crusher. We have to call him him.
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 That one.
We're talking about him.
The boy.
Child. What is a child piloting the ship for? I don't know. I don't know.
Right. His mum told me. His mum's downstairs.
No, that'd be it though. The guy comes on and's like, why is a child piloting the ship? It's just like, you have no idea how good Beverly is in bed.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Oh, what I wouldn't do for a blowjob.
Yeah. Fantastic head. Yeah. That's why her son sat there instead of a commissioned officer.
Okay, I think we've exhausted the metaphors now.
Yes. Yeah.
So thank you. If you enjoy this podcast, please jump over and vote for us on Podcast Alley, even though it's a bit fucked up right now. And dig.com, we're on there as well. Go and dig us. Ideally, though, we have a donation button on our page. You might like to go and
give us some money.
Give us some cash.
Or we have things for sale in our store. We have old episodes of Movies You Should See. We have other programs.
One day there'll be old episodes of this.
They will do, indeed.
So get them while you can.
You know what you boys need to start doing? Signed photos.
We should do that.
Who the fuck's going to want that?
Hey, I've got about 75 spare headshots left over of me. So if anybody wants a signed photo of Will Tristram of The Definitive Word.
We should have a competition to win these.
Yeah.
Or, yeah,
we'll write down The Definitive Word over my face, give myself some glasses and some buck teeth.
Yeah,
and we'll post it out to you.
Smashing.
It's awesome.
We'll have to bring that up on a Definitive Word episode. Ah, big shout out to somebody.
Snoop.
Are you talking about the guy who gave us an email about the other podcast?
Yeah,
we'll read that out on the other podcast.
We'll read that on the other podcast.
It's more appropriate there.
Fair enough.
That's where we know he'll be listening.
Yeah,
I don't know if he listens to this.
No.
Let us know and we'll give you a shout out to every single one of them.
Yeah, if you listen to that other podcast,
let us know.
And you sent us an email. Anyway, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.